Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, first 10 verses. Let us read with the help of the Lord. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning from the Word of God. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees, and in our hearts, let us worship the Lord with prayer and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, in our weak hearts we desire to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that Thou lead us through this act of worship, through this spiritual deed, that we truly may worship Thee in sincerity, with love and gratitude, rejoicing in Thy goodness and mercy, and receiving new strength from this fountain of life which Thou hast opened to us in Christ our Redeemer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before Thee that we are not worthy of Thy great goodness and mercy, and that only because of Thy grace and mercy we are here around Thy holy word. O Lord, only because Thou hast desired in Thy fatherly love to redeem us by the sacrifice of our Redeemer. Only because Thou hast that desire to suffer for our redemption and to share with us Thy heavenly glory. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are here before Thee this moment because of Thy great goodness and mercy. We are not now enjoying sinful pleasures and trying to forget and suppress the feelings of our conscience in the world, in the confusion, in darkness, O Lord. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for extending Thy loving arms to take us out of the world. We thank Thee for the voice of truth which Thou hast given us in Christ. And we praise Thee, O Lord, for that grace given to us upon grace. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast invited us, and then Thou hast given us hearing to hear, understanding to understand, and a new desire to answer, and then Thou hast provided strength. Thou hast made the first steps for us, and then the following efforts so needful. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for giving us that sincere desire to escape from the world, to escape from sin and from the judgment that is coming upon all sinful world. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for getting us here together under the wings of Thy mercy, and to have this still, peaceful hour around Thy holy word, just as Thy disciples were sitting around Thy feet and listening to Thy sermons, and as they were filled with that power from on high. And even in the days when they were confused and surrounded by fear and threatening of the enemy on every side, they stayed together, for they could not forget that the greatest teacher of all teachers has proclaimed the message of truth among them. So we pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that today Thou again reveal to us with new understanding and renewed knowledge this holy word of Thine. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou fill our hearts with new strength in faith. Faith that will not waver, that will not yield to the trials and temptations. Faith that will bear abundant fruit through Thy love. That love of Thine, O Lord, so pure and holy, that has, even in our weak hearts, sweetened the difficulties of our journey. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as we in our prayer and in our praises, O Lord, approach the throne of mercy, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that Thy holy word would fill our hearts as the manna that Thou hast given to the children of Israel filled that vessel which then was placed in the Ark of the Covenant for a lasting testimony that Thou art God, never forsaking Thine own, and always, O Lord, protecting Thy people, spreading the wings of Thy goodness and mercy, and providing for all their needs. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that in our faith Thou wouldst multiply the fruits of Thy Spirit, the good deeds of loving kindness and charity, that Thou, gracious Lord, bless and multiply Thy holy word O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, that Thou grant us always new purification, as Thou hast said to Thy disciples, that they are already purified, cleansed by the word that Thou hast spoken. And as we listen to Thy holy word, O Heavenly Father, Thou grant us that openness and that obedience, and then Thou bless Thy holy word and turn our obedience into faithfulness. And then, O Lord God Almighty, multiply Thy holy word and create that wonderful zeal as the undying flame of Thy love, of Thy light, of Thy truth, that in spite of all the winds of false teaching is still testifying clearly and loudly that Thou art God and there is none other, and there is no other name given to the mankind for salvation but the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Thy only begotten One, Thine beloved One, in whom Thou art well pleased. O gracious Lord, this is our prayer and the longing of our soul, the desire of our weak hearts, that that Holy Son of Thine, our Savior and our Redeemer, would dwell in our hearts, that Thy kingdom may be firmly established, and that Thy kingdom be prosperous, that the words of old, that ancient prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, which proclaimed that a child is born and a son is given unto us, whose name is Emmanuel, that the fame and the glory of his name would excel forever and ever, until, O Heavenly Father, Thou wilt gather all Thine chosen ones, Thy preciously redeemed ones, O Lord, into that glorious kingdom of Thine, into the domain of peace and joy, to worship Thee forever and ever. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Thou grant us that renewed peace, peace of Thy forgiveness, peace of that confidence in Thy protection and Thy safekeeping of our souls. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may that peace be a token that Thy Spirit is dwelling in our hearts, and may the joy of Thy salvation increase day by day, for again, O Lord, Thou hast given us today a moment of rest, a moment of rejoicing. Gracious Lord, we thank Thee for this past week. We thank Thee, O Lord, for that week was marked with the worship of Thy holy name, with Thy goodness and mercy following us every day, every hour, every step of our pilgrimage. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for this past week is a step closer to the blessed eternity, a step further away from those sad memories, when memories of the time when we still were in the bondage of sin. Oh, how wonderfully Thou hast made us free. How lovingly and graciously Thou hast carried our souls in Thy bosom away from darkness and sin and to Thy glorious light, light of truth, this blessed gospel. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou continually keep loving us, continually strengthening us, that we may be always aware of Thy nearness, Thy very presence in our hearts, O Lord. Oh, may the sound of Thy voice be sweet to our soul, as Thou hast greeted Thy disciples on that glorious resurrection day. Peace be unto you. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, how can we ever thank Thee? How can we ever praise thee as much as thou art worthy? But as weak as we are, we pray, O Lord, grant us today again a portion in that glorious glorification of thy holy name, that with all the saints in heaven and in earth, known and unknown, O Lord, to us, that we may all be known unto thee, and that we all together may, O gracious Lord, bow down and worship thee, for glorious and wonderful thou art. Great is thy love and thy faithfulness, O Lord. O blessed be thy name forever and ever. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that in every decision making, in every step, on the path of righteousness, thou grant us thy guidance and thy instruction. Thou make us to know thy will. That we, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may not be wandering to and fro as the Gentiles that have their understanding darkened by sin. Thou make us free in Christ. Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, the delight of thy holy word and that sweetness of fellowshipping together and worshipping thee in our spirit. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, even today thou keep the grace, the door of grace open. Even today may thy light shine upon the path of righteousness, that all those that seek thee may find thee, all those that knock at the door of thy goodness and grace may find it open widely, all those that ask from thee may receive everything that is so needful for our spiritual welfare. Gracious Lord, grant thy healing, grant recovery. Thou grant, O Heavenly Father, renewal of thy grace. Thou give new joy and new peace. O loving Heavenly Father, great is thy goodness and mercy. We thank thee for being together here, and we pray especially for those that might be alone. O Lord, may they not be alone, for thou art with them. Thou protect thine own. Thou, O Heavenly Father, unite our hearts and minds in prayers, in praises, in worship, in sharing thy holy word, in extending our hands into thine. And hand in hand, thou lead thy family, thy children, thou lead thy flock to those still waters and thy green pastures. And may our hearts be united to sing about thy goodness and glory, to sing about that heavenly homeland to which we are aiming and where thou art leading us, so that, O Lord God Almighty, as we are together with thee, even this dark valley of the shadow of death, this valley of tears and sighs, may turn into fruitful field where thy gospel is proclaimed, where the light of thy truth is shining, and where, O Heavenly Father, the blood of the Savior is washing away the sins of those that with repentance, true repentance, come unto thee. Blessed Lord, our prayers are so limited, and we are thy weak and small children, but thou, O Lord God Almighty, according to thy abundant grace, give to every soul as needed. And thou, O Heavenly Father, lead us and teach us, watch over us and protect us, and unite us in the spirit of love, faith, and hope, that we, this short pilgrimage of thine, may be united with thee, and then forever, in that glorious and blessed eternity, that we may worship thee and praise thy holy name forever and ever. Amen. again with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read a few more verses from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 13. Let us continue on the verse number 11 and read to the verse number 17, seven more verses. Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This far I desire that we read in our second reading. It is just amazing to me. I think it's truly amazing to every one of us when we look into that, how our Lord and Savior proclaimed the message of the gospel in so many different situations, in so many different ways, and just about everything, every situation, every condition, every setting that they were in was used to make the message of the gospel clear. And I think that we should continually pray to the Lord that He would give us that kind of awareness, that kind of a gospel mind and heart, that in every situation we just look for an opportunity to point to the truth. But then, perhaps not only looking for an opportunity to reveal the Word of God to the others, but also to encourage one another. I think that's one of the first steps in gospel activity. Our Lord and Savior invited his disciples, and before his public proclamation of the gospel, he taught his disciples privately. And then, even more than his words, his example was a continual teaching, always a new lesson to the disciples. And then, after the disciples, he was teaching all the others. So here we see that at this moment, in the beginning of chapter 13, there were some people that told to the Lord Jesus Christ about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, with the blood of their sacrifices. It must have been something, some of those cruel, savage Roman military interventions, so to say, chances are, of course, I don't know for sure, we don't have all the details here, and I did not take time nor invested effort to read the historical records, mainly because I think that the historical records are not always reliable. They depend very much who made them. If the same historical record was written by both sides, we would have two records that would be very different. I mean, both sides of any confrontation line. But the only reliable source of information that we have is the scripture, the Bible. And we know that if we read the historical records and if we studied the archaeological excavations and all the things that the people nowadays, especially the educated people, try to rely on, we would never found the way of salvation. So all of that would not avail anything. By reading the scripture, by praying to the Lord for understanding, guidance and revelation, we find that path of salvation. So we know that the Word of God is the only reliable source. So we can think that during the rule of the Romans over the eastern countries, and in this case in particular over the land of Palestine, the land of Israel, that there were many clashes, many insurrections, many uprisings, and a lot of bloodshed. And so it's possible that the Israelites, the Jews especially, would gather for their feasts and offer sacrifices, and usually Roman rulers, governors, and military commanders would not prevent them from offering their sacrifices. It seems that Romans would just accept any so-called deity or any gods of the other nations. Wherever they conquered the nations, they would pick up their idols and add them to the collection that they had. Because we can see that even today, what is left of Rome is a mixture of just about any religion in the world. And it seems that that was their manner since the times of old. So the Jews were allowed to worship and to offer sacrifices, but they might have used occasionally those gatherings to devise a plan for some uprising or insurrection. And chances are that that was one of the cases. They were pretending that the main thing is offering sacrifices, and somewhere at hand they might have been hiding their weapons and their ammunition, whatever they had in those days. It must have been very different than what we see nowadays in the military formations. And so that might have been told to Pilate, and he probably came with his soldiers, or he sent a centurion or two, three centurions, and they just massacred these Jews right there by the Jewish sacrifices. And in the sight, in the eyes of Jews, it must have been an awful thing. A terrible, horrifying thing. And I believe it was. But the Lord is saying, well, what is the difference? They suffered some physical pain. They suffered some agony of dying, and then they died. Now think about another man or another person or many persons. We don't know how many but hundreds, probably thousands, even today, are dying of some sickness, and it could be very painful, agonizing illness, and they're dying not a few minutes, but hours and days and weeks and months. It goes on, and finally they die. How awful, how terrible. But that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is, no matter what, whether a person died in pain, in suffering, or in pleasure, in just a moment disappeared out of this life. Everyone that is dying in their sin, they perished. And that's what the Lord is saying. Do you focus your attention on that, wondering if those that suffered such things are the most sinful people, or that they are sinners above all the others? No, that's not the most important thing. Oh, we know about one man that was an awful sinner, at least according to all the standards and understanding of the people, who was a murderer, who was a thief, who was a robber, and now he's dying a very painful death, a death of execution, being crucified on the cross. And at that moment he turned to our Lord and Savior and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So the most horrible and awful thing is not dying, but dying in sin. And so the Lord remembered his listeners of the first words of his teaching: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what we see nowadays, that the word of God is being revealed, or not only revealed, but fulfilled exactly as he has foretold, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What did he mean, the days of the Son of Man? The days of his coming. The days when the Son of Man will be revealed, when all the people will see his sign, and all the tribes of the earth, the whole humanity, will weep because it's over. The day of grace is over. The time for repentance is over. Those that repented will rejoice in their salvation, and those that did not will be wailing and gnashing their teeth. So the Lord says that the most important thing is not whether we suffer or not, or how much we suffer in this life, but for what purpose are we living and dying in Christ? We see that truly today it is as in the days of Noah. Noah and his family were serving the Lord and preaching, proclaiming the gospel for so many years, and no one repented. No one. Other than those 8 souls. I think they must have had experienced that repentance, turning away from their society, from the world in which they lived, the world of religion, and yet not the world of faith. So the Lord also said, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, what is the difference between the days of Lot and the days of Noah? In the days of Noah, those that were faithful were continually faithful. They endured through those long years of building the ark. Long years of rejection, long years of being despised, looked down on, long years of separation from their own church, their own people, and becoming the church of God. So, they endured through all of that. But in the days of Lot, even that family that should have been a family of a righteous man, the family of a righteous man, even he, Lot, being the head of his household and the teacher of righteousness, he mixed with the world. He was sitting in the gate of Sodom, as if he, one voice, could do anything to make the multitude of other voices more righteous. We see that when we mix clean water and unclean water, everything is unclean. Clean water did not clean, make the unclean water clean. But the uncleanness from the unclean water made the formerly clean water unclean. So we cannot mix the teaching of the Lord with the teaching of the world, or everything is going to be unclean. But Lot himself was not as strong and faithful and did not endure as Noah, the servant of God, did. What happened to Lot? Well, first, he lived in Sodom, mixed with the people of Sodom, and he also spent the time so long that apparently his family mixed with the families of the unbelievers. And even when the time was to come out and the angels of the Lord said, "Rush, escape," he said, "Oh no, I cannot." You see, he is a man of delays. He is a man of lack of strong decision, no fervor for the Lord. And yet somehow, he did not enjoy the filth of Sodom and Gomorrah. He himself kept himself from the evil there. But that evil in his, Lot's sight and Lot's understanding, was not sufficiently evil to move Lot away from all of that and closer to the Lord. So finally, when Lot separated himself from the people of the land, he was way too late. All of his family was lost. And what happened to Lot? He became a father of two godless nations. Well, so it is in the days of the Son of Man. And we see that being fulfilled far and wide. But that is a reminder and a warning to us to rush, to hurry. Yes, the kingdom of God is still at hand, but how many died short of the grace of God? How many delayed just another day, another moment, and finally it was too late? Well, there were two thieves, two sinful men, one on one side of the cross and one on the other side of the cross. And we see at that last moment, one received the promise of everlasting life, the other did not. Both of them talked to the Lord, but one was repentant, penitent, the other one rebellious. The Lord said, probably about some, he referred to some terrible accident that happened, that a tower, a building, fell on 18 people and they died there. And of course, when we see some terrible accident, how awful that looked in our eyes. But look at the hospitals. Look how many homes are filled with sick people, especially nowadays, those sicknesses that are direct result of filth and sinful way of living, immorality, perversions, all kind of ugly things that are spreading like wildfires in today's society. How many? The Lord say, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So that repentance, deep, sincere, complete, is a path, a process that separates us from sinful way of living and brings us into submission. Here is gentle but strong. It's our defense. It's our protection. This same word of God. When God is with us, who can prevail against us? Now, saying that everyone should repent and haste, not delay from day to day. Tomorrow it might be too late. The Lord is now turning to some of us that are working in that vineyard, that are serving the Lord. Or, let's say, to everyone that has repented, that has found that peace in the Lord and joy of His salvation, to everyone that by grace of God has attained that relationship, fellowship in His Spirit, receiving that new life in Christ. Every one of us has received a ministry, a work to do. We are not told to be idle, but to labor in the Lord. The Lord is telling us a story about a vineyard. In that vineyard, there is a fruit tree. Here we read it's a fig. Now, that could be representing or signifying a fellowship, or perhaps one individual soul. The tree is planted in the vineyard, is given all the things necessary, apparently, that would make every other tree bear fruit. But somehow this tree had only leaves, only branches, only the trunk, but not the fruits. And the master of the vineyard is coming and checking 1 year, nothing. And then another year, nothing again. And third year, still nothing. And then the master tell to the servant, to the caretaker of this vineyard, and he says, cut that down. Why should it take a place in the vineyard when it's bearing no fruit? What is the Lord teaching us? What should be our attitude? How should we look upon those that are either delaying or not yet bearing fruits? Well, think about our fruits. Are there too many? Or should we pray that we be more fruitful? Let's think for a moment. Just a moment. Think each one in our own heart. What was the last good deed that I have done? The kind words of encouragement, comfort, peace, and love that I shared with at least one other fellow believer, brother, a sister in Christ. When did I last time extended and shared some loving kindness with someone who is not in the faith? When did I last time offered some understanding and some help to an enemy? Well, those are three groups, three classes of people around us to whom we are invited and called to witness and to present the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, first, we think about our insufficiency, and then we understand, and then we are reminded and helped in understanding how weak, how small we humans are. But then, what was the attitude of this steward, this caretaker, this worker, laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. He said, "Oh Lord, wait another year. Just one more year. Wait a little bit longer, perhaps. There is something more that can be done." This laborer did not say, "Oh yes, that's such a bad tree. Let's quickly cut it down." No. He said, "Maybe I didn't do something. I could be I could do something more." And he pleaded for patience with the Lord, and he said, "Lord, let it alone this year also. I shall dig about it. I will bring some fertilizer. Perhaps there is some deficiency in my service. Or chances are that this tree needs something more. Let's try that. Let's do something more." And we see that the Lord did not answer whether he waited another year or he did not. Well, the Lord did not point to that, because that's his part. He has the power. That's his, so to say, jurisdiction, his will. He can make an end of his waiting, or he can wait longer. No one could say that the Lord did not wait long enough. He is very patient, very kind. But the Lord is teaching us that that should be our desire. As much as we would often thinking and sighing, desiring that the Lord would make an end of sin and woe and come and gather all of his redeemed ones to be with him. Again, just as much we desire that the Lord would wait just another moment, there are those that are still in struggle, still striving. Perhaps a little bit longer, and they will bear fruit. So, as the Lord was teaching, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. It's not a very easy thing for me to understand, and of course, how could I explain it then? What is the spirit of infirmity? Is that something similar that I from time to time feel so weak and there should be something done and I just can't make myself do it? I wonder what is that spirit of infirmity. We read here that it was a sickness. This woman was all bent down or somehow hunched. She just could not stand up straight. But let's think for a moment, if some of us would try and bend down and stay in that position for a while. It's difficult. And then think about being in that position, difficult position, long time, it becomes painful. And this woman for 18 years suffered and suffered and suffered again, and just there was no healing. No healing, just suffering, no death, no end of that suffering, 18 years. But the Lord says later on that this woman was bound by Satan. Now, just in the preceding verses that we shared, he says that the amount or the way of suffering does not necessarily guarantee that the people suffering are more sinful than the others that are not suffering that badly. So, we wonder, is not every sickness directly or indirectly a result of sin? There were no sicknesses before that sin entered into the lives and hearts of men. There is no sickness recorded in the Garden of Eden. Later on, we read about bloodshed and sicknesses and all kinds of sufferings. But the Lord is acknowledging that, or teaching us, revealing to us that sufferings are one way or another consequence of sin. But then again, when we see someone suffering sickness, we should not be like Job's friends and tell, "Oh, that man must be very sinful. Look, he's suffering more than I." No, in our hearts there should not be condemnation, but in the light of this preceding passage and example, this laborer that longed for seeing the fruits and not seeing the fig tree cut down. So should we think, as the Lord said to his disciples, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God be revealed upon him. Oh, that's what we need. And that's what we should desire, and that's what we should be after. That the gospel of God be revealed to the others, and so they would be delivered from their suffering. In some cases, it's going to be deliverance from physical suffering too, but surely the effect of gospel conversion is liberty from, or liberation from, suffering of sin. So the Lord said to this woman, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He said that, but nothing happened. That instant, nothing happened yet. But when he laid his hands on her, then his words were fulfilled. Immediately after he laid his hands on her, she was made straight and glorified God. So today the word of God is proclaimed. And the people hear the word of God, but not all of them get healed. Not all of them are corrected. Not all of them are delivered from their infirmity. But only those that the Lord touched. Only those on whom he laid his hands. Well, the Lord can use our hands too. So he is encouraging us to extend loving and helping hands to those that suffer. That suffer because of the power of Satan. And as we share Christian love, as we live this gospel in this world, we pray that the Lord would grant that healing power, that there will be some souls that will see the gospel of Christ
in our weak, imperfect, insufficient example, and hearing the word of God and feeling the touch of Christian love, they might be healed, not by our power, but by the same power that we were healed, the power of mercy, compassion, love, and loving kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we see when that happened, there was some opposition. There was a very decent, apparently, in his own sight and in the sight of the others that had similar rigid rules of their form of godliness. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. They didn't realize that the Sabbath day should be the day of healing, the day of rest in Christ. So he said, "No, not so. 6 days you come and be healed." Well, if this man was hunched, if this man was suffering from a heavy sickness, would he wait, or would he rather cry for healing? Well, that's the opposite. We see the laborer in the vineyard pleading with the Lord, just a little bit more patience, more help. Perhaps there will be some fruits. And here we see a hypocrite that says no to those that need healing. And the Lord said, "Oh hypocrite, thy cattle is thine, so thou takest care of it. But this daughter of Abraham, this precious soul, is foreign, strange to thee." But this door of Abraham, being strange to thee, indicates that thou art not a child of Abraham. Thou art a stranger. Thy place is not here, but with the sinful people. And so, when the Lord revealed that, the pride of the hypocrite was hit, wounded. And if that pride received a deadly, fatal wound, it could be unto life to this man. But if not, if pride survived, then the soul of this man could not receive life. How sad that is. But how wonderful and how glorious that is, that the Lord is helper to the helpless, that He will lift up the meek, and He can save sinners.